Dick, what do you say you and me take a walk over to the tavern?
Let's pull up a chair.
A little something to eat.
Welcome to the Mouse and Castles.
Come on, Johnny, what are we waiting for?
This is a gathering place for fans of all things Disney. So sit back,
chow down,
have some sips, and chit-chat about the magical world created by Walt Disney.
For too long, I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it.
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Mouse and Castle Podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. Glad to be with you once again as we talk all things Disney. We're at the very end of 2020. Praise the Lord.
Smack dab in the middle of the holiday season.
We are, actually. And hey, welcome. That's Mr. Aaron Goins. How's it going, Aaron?
Pretty good.
Welcome back.
We took an accidental 2-month break from Mouse and Castle.
We did, didn't we?
Did.
It has been, it's funny, you and I were talking about Disney before the show, and I was like, we should start the show since we're already talking about Disney. But I should have saved for the pre-roll is like, it's been like the end of the roughest year and the end of the roughest holiday season I've ever had. Like, it's been a rough window, and I'm just excited to get back, catch up with you on all this Disney news that broke weeks ago, and talk about what the year has been, and maybe even look ahead a little bit at what's coming as we get ready to turn the page on this year. And I'm pretty excited to do it, so let's get into it.
Yeah, there's absolutely no lack of news or information to talk about.
No, there's not. We're gonna let's jump right to it. In fact, there's no way that we could have thoroughly covered in one podcast episode anyway, thoroughly cover everything that went down with the biggest Disney movie news. Well, Disney news in general this entire year. That was the Disney investors call. And this is our first time since the last quarterly earnings reports that have just sort of been death and destruction for the company. So this is their chance to sort of showcase what the road ahead is and how Disney as a company is going to recover from the impacts of the pandemic. And they talked all things Star Wars, Marvel. We're not going to get into all that. There's tons of great podcasts that you can, like Star Wars Report. That you can go to and get much more detailed breakdown on the sort of franchise stuff. But I kind of wanted you to touch base with you, Aaron, and say, what was your reaction to the call, especially just the sheer volume of content that was released?
So is this like normal?
No.
A normal kind of investors call for them? Because I've never done one before or tuned into one. Or was this like a special event?
This is not normal at all, because they normally have, they do have the investor day and yeah. and a conference call. I don't know if it's been video before, but it certainly hasn't been produced like this.
Okay.
They very much took the immediately when I saw the sort of staged set and the lighting and how everything was filmed so professionally with each of the presenters from the different divisions of the company, I immediately thought of Apple's keynotes this year.
Yeah,
which
it felt like a Disney keynote.
It was because and Apple has done an insanely incredible job presenting virtually all the stuff that they're so famous for, you know, for all the big Apple fanboys, the Apple keynotes that are usually done in person, and there's applause and a live audience and energy in the room as, you know, Steve Jobs announces the iPhone, you know. But in this case, it was like all the Disney executives announce everything.
It felt like they took all the conventions that were supposed to happen in 2020 and just bunched all that announcements up together in one giant announcement.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was impressed with Bob Chapek. You know, I know we haven't, like, we've seen little clips of him and, like, is he going to really be able to fill the shoes? But I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, no, I think you did too. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched a good chunk of it, though.
I watched it all, Riley.
You watched the whole thing? You are a true nerd.
I mean, I definitely had moments where I kind of had it off to the side and was doing multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't just like staring at the screen for
sure.
4 hours. But I mean, I had that thing on. I don't know. I got caught up in it. I get excited about these type of things, like these type of announcement, big event type of announcements. And, and they just, once they started rolling out the news, you know, they started kind of like Star Wars was one of the first things that started hitting. And, you know, we're obviously huge Star Wars fans. And it was just like, oh my gosh, oh my goodness. Like everything that they kept announcing more and more, yeah. and then it just kept rolling throughout the entire 4 hours. I was pretty riveted.
It did, and this is the last thing I'll say about like the presentation itself, but it also reminded me a lot of their highly produced stage productions that they did at D23 a couple years back when I went. A similar idea where they had put a lot of thought and care into the presentation of each of these new series, new movies, updates to the parks, everything that they talk about. So let's highlight the Disney specific series, and you've done a great job breaking a lot of these out. So I just kind of want to get your gut reaction, yay or nay. Is this something that you're interested in, or something that I think I might pass on? Let's start with that. Well, one of my favorite comedians, anyway, a hybrid live-action animated feature called Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, starring John Mulaney and Andy Samberg.
This one was kind of out of nowhere, right?
A lot of
we had never heard anything, because a lot of this stuff we're going to talk around a couple other titles, and some of it had been rumored or kind of already announced. We just got a little bit more information, but this is one I hadn't heard anything about this coming, and I know they've been kind of dipping into those, you know, weekday afternoon old animated series, Darkwing Duck, DuckTales, that kind of stuff has been recently kind of, they're doing these reboots. So it's probably only a matter of time until something like Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers came back. They did do a cameo in the DuckTales reboot, but to get their own live action movie with John Mulaney and Andy Samberg, that's not something I expected at all. And I like both of those comedians, and Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers is nostalgic for me. So this is absolutely one that I will watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in for John Mulaney alone. I love John Mulaney. He's fantastic in Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh yeah. I forgot he was in that. Yeah.
He's some great one-liners in that one. I mean, I say that like that's his like crowning achievement in his professional career.
Right, that's what he's known for.
You know, the pig
didn't even
from
know he was in that movie.
Spider Pig. That was the main reason I was able to convince Savannah to go watch that movie was John Mulaney and Spider Pig. No, but I definitely sold for that. I think it'll be a good one. The next one we have is the live action Lion King prequel.
Right. Which I think had been at least rumored, if not already somewhat officially announced, but we kind of knew this one was coming.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm super excited just because, I don't know. I tend to not like things that are sequels to things that don't need a sequel. And I know this is a prequel, but Lion King is great as a standalone thing. But I can see why, you know, this is a surefire way for them to make more money.
Yeah,
I'm assuming they'll still get a couple of the main cast members because they have some pretty big names in there. But yeah, this is kind of a wait and see for me. I'm going to wait and see trailer, more information about what the plot's going to be about before I get excited for it.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I enjoyed the live action Lion King, but it certainly wasn't in the top half of the live action remakes if I were ranking them. A lot of I just think the translation into the hyper realism, just particularly for that film, didn't work. I don't think it really worked super well for Jungle Book, but it was even more noticeable in Lion King for me. So that for me was a lot of the heart of the film. That's why I'm not immediately excited, but we'll see. It'd be kind of interesting to see. This one I've seen a lot more buzz about, but that is the live action retelling of Pinocchio, starring Tom Hanks and directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Hanks being attached gets me interested more than probably any other element of this. I've never been a big Pinocchio fan. That movie ranks pretty low in my favorite Disney movies. So, but to see Tom Hanks attached to it makes it a little bit more interesting. And even Zemeckis, I'm not a big fan of all his stuff either. So that's not a big plus for me.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, Tom Hanks as Geppetto. That I think that to me is the biggest selling point. He's a superstar, and I think Tom Hanks works particularly well with Disney, not just because he played Walt Disney, which doesn't hurt.
Right? Yeah, I forgot
he's,
about that.
He's got a little bit of a hands up. I loved, what was the name of that movie? It was based on Mary Poppins, the story of the making of Mary Poppins, but it was really good. I feel like it kind of floated by and a lot of people didn't recognize it nearly as much as it should be, but yeah, I think Tom Hanks is a perfect fit.
Yeah, he's basically Disney royalty. I mean, he's Woody from Toy Story.
Yeah, so, exactly. Mean,
that's, you know, yeah. He's been in other stuff Disney, I'm sure. But.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And we have, for the first ever animated series from Pixar, or actually, Baymax, Zootopia, Tiana, and Moana.
Yeah, so first ever animated series for Disney Plus.
Yes, for Disney Plus, I should say.
Which, you know, obviously, you know, there's been plenty of Disney animated series, in the past. But this, I think, is the first original to Disney Plus. And this was also another surprise to me. I hadn't heard anything about these coming. Doing a Baymax animated series kind of makes sense. That's a very popular character. They've already done actually a Big Hero 6 animated series on, I believe, Disney XD. So it'll be interesting how this either ties in with that or if they just kind of completely ignore that continuity. But Zootopia, Tiana, and Moana, all big titles from Disney that are getting this kind of animated series treatment. You know, the history of Disney animated series hasn't been great, but they've gotten better. Tangled is a good example where they've done a Tangled animated series that actually has been very popular. But in the past, I'm thinking of, you know, Little Mermaid did an animated series. Aladdin did. Hercules. I mean, you could keep going. Lilo and Stitch. And none of them were really high quality. So hopefully, and I think because it's Disney Plus, these are going to be a little bit more higher productions and not kind of what we used to get maybe back in the 90s from Disney.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was trying to go through Ellen of Avonor, I guess is one that was fairly popular.
Yeah, I was thinking of more Disney series that are based on existing
IP.
Movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
not,
true.
Not originals, but I know the Tangled series is very popular and Moana's one that, like, it's one of my favorite Disney movies. Like, I love Moana. So I'm kind of, like, nervous about that one because I'm like, oh, do we really want to water down that? Mm. I'd almost rather see another Moana movie.
Yeah.
But this is supposed to be a musical series, which is also kind of unique.
Which is tough to write, though, when you think about, like, the writing process and the refinement process for a Disney musical. It's hard to imagine being able to sustain that for an ongoing series.
Do they do an original song every episode? Is it maybe every few episodes? I know, like, I'm trying to think of something that would be similar, and the only thing that's coming to my head is not Disney, but My Little Pony, their animated series. Every, like, two or three episodes, they'd have a song, and it was fun. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, people hold Disney to a high standard when it comes to original songs, especially Moana. I don't know. I can't remember if they said Lin-Manuel Miranda was going to be involved. I think he is. You would think he would be.
Yeah. So. And then the next one, we have something that I'm not at all familiar with. I hadn't even heard that this was coming, but it was Disney's Encanto, and they even had a little sizzle that they released. Right here. See a little butterfly flying outside. Beautiful jungle. Colombia. Disney's Encanto. Set in, no surprise, Colombia. I kind of liked it. I don't know if you got, you watched the whole thing, so you got to see that little sizzle, but I honestly hadn't even, that was one of the ones that had not floated to the top of my radar. I had not seen this one.
I think I had heard about this one coming. So it wasn't a big surprise when the title came up.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more information kind of about what it's going to be about. A magical family. So that's kind of interesting. I was thinking, like, this is pretty close on the heels of Coco, which was obviously a Pixar movie, mm-hmm. but it's still released by Disney. It seems like, you know, Latin America music, you know, it kind of has maybe a similar feel. So I'll be curious to see how they differentiate this to be a feel different enough
It is,
but I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll nerd out for a second.
All right.
One of my siblings' exes was Colombian, so that's my exposure to Colombian culture, and I think it's very intentional and a really cool opportunity for Disney to explore Colombian culture even after exploring Mexican culture so much in Coco, because they are distinct, particularly in their music. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite artists, well, really ever, is Carlos Vives, who's basically like the superstar of Colombian music. And he's just known for a very distinctly Colombian, you literally heard that style of music there. It's this almost rock and roll version of mariachi. And I could very much see that that's a great exploring ground for the writer, which is Lin-Manuel Miranda, one of the greatest, you know, music writers of our time. So I'm hyped just because of the subject matter and the people working on it, even though I have no idea like what it's about other than it's a magical family in a magical home in Colombia, and I'm sold.
Yeah, I mean, they're keeping him busy, aren't they? Because he's also working on the upcoming Little Mermaid release.
Oh, that's right.
Good Lord. So yeah, he's got a lot of Disney songs to write, apparently.
Yeah. Well, the next one, this leans back into a much more well-known IP. It's called Lightyear. You can take one guess as to what it's about.
This was a funny idea. This almost feels like something that you and I would have come up with while we're having drinks at a bar at Disney.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We would have been like, you know what would be cool? If they, you know, that's what this came out like. I was just watching, like, really? I'm surprised this made it through the pitch to actually get made.
So don't be shy. This is the pitch. This is literally the pitch. It's the definitive story of the human Buzz Lightyear that the toy is based on, and Chris Evans is voicing Buzz.
Right. So how angry is Tom Arnold right now? He's been recast.
Oh, poor guy. And it's the guy who played Captain America, no less.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think it's a great idea. I actually think this is such a fun, unique idea that I never would think would have gotten made. And the fact that it's being made, I just think it's going to be so fun. I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, and Tim Allen, right? Tim Allen was the original.
Oh, did I say I said the wrong name? Yeah, Tim Allen.
That's the one. And I what's just funny, because like I only recently even watched the Toy Story movies in the last few years. I'm embarrassed to admit, but I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued. I played it for a second ago, but here's they released a little sizzle, so let's take a quick listen. It's literally kind of like jumping to hyperspace. Lightyear. Disney Pixar's like, oh.
And I think getting somebody like Chris Evans, because they could have just stuck with Tim Allen. You know, that's the recognizable voice, obviously. He could have even changed his voice a little bit to sound less cartoony and more serious. But I think to keep it fresh, to get somebody like Chris Evans, who obviously, you know, commands quite a, you know, quite a crowd or quite a fan following.
Yeah, sure.
I think it works.
Yeah, and whenever I think Buzz, I think of Buzz Aldrin. Like, I think that's no coincidence that Buzz Lightyear was named off of a real world, you know, famous American astronaut. So it makes sense that the guy who played Captain America is also kind of jumping in on the genre a little bit. But now we get to, all right, everything else, that's just whetting the appetite. We're saving the best for last, the greatest piece of news of any Disney content coming in the future is the Beauty and the Beast prequel starring Luke Evans as Gaston. And Josh Gad is back as LeFou.
Yay, Josh Gad.
Ready to redeem himself from the performance in Artemis Fowl. There, I said it.
We're Frozen too.
How dare you, sir? How dare you? First of all, how dare you?
The worst Disney song ever.
That
still sticking to that.
Mm-mm.
Skip it every time. But this was also another big surprise, just because I never would have thought that they would. The fact that they made a live action Beauty and the Beast makes sense. The fact that they're going to do a television series based on characters from that, and also musical. So that's another,
yeah,
you know, another thing, kind of like the Moana series, where they're going to have to be writing original music for this, and it's got to have to kind of live up to these iconic songs that have come from Beauty and the Beast. This is one I'll be interested to see kind of how well received these are, if it works.
There is a, but let's talk about this for a second, Aaron. There's a fandom around the character of Gaston that is oddly similar to the fandom around Boba Fett. Like, okay. He's a very popular character to cosplay as. People think he's hilarious. He's that guy everybody loves to hate. And I feel like, more so than a lot of other villains, I don't know why, but I feel like it just makes sense.
Yeah, but he's going to have to kind of be the protagonist in a way.
True, true.
He's the central character. So what redeeming qualities are they going to lean in on? Because in both versions of Beauty and the Beast, animated and live action, he was a pretty rotten dude and who was very murderous and trying to kill the beast in the end.
He
wasn't like a misunderstood bad guy. He was just a bad guy.
But Aaron, think about it this way. You just have to shift perspective slightly. You went away to war. You saw things you can't unsee. Rejected by your family. Rejected, never able to truly become fully human again after those experiences. Never able to find true romance and partnership. And you get bitter. You become arrogant. It's a coping mechanism for the man you've become.
The copy for for this?
Or? I have here, actually, exclusively, I have the script right here. I'm pitching, yeah. Right?
That was pretty good if it was off the top of your head.
These are the things that I actually saw in more nuance in his character. Yes, Beauty and the Beast is the live action movie I've rewatched the most times. That's the first admission I have to have. So, but I think there are little bits throughout the film that, unlike the animated version, give some nuance there. Like he's literally having a sort of panic attack at one point, and they play it for comedy. But I could see it to be very easy where they can make him a more sympathetic character as to why he became who he is. And it's easy to fall for and become sympathetic for the guy everybody hates, who's all alone and nobody loves. I'm just saying. I don't know why.
I forgot that he was a kind of a favorite of yours. So I can see why.
I don't know what this says about me. I'm not exactly excited about that part of this. This is on the record and the Mouse and Castle podcast. But it's true. There's a soft spot in my heart for Gaston. Listen, no one. Well, and by the way, also of all the musical numbers, they definitely had the most originality and feeling in their rendition of the song, the Gaston number. Like, if you think about Ewan McGregor's version of Be Our Guest, not nearly as much personality.
Right. I thought the whole movie missed on the music, but...
We had this conversation. You know, that's why you're wrong.
You know, so, my thoughts on the live-action Beauty and the Beast.
I know.
We'll see. I think, you know, this will be... I'll watch it.
Yeah,
you know, I'll definitely watch it, but it's not something that was at the top of my list of my wish list for Disney Plus series.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, there's so much that they announced. So obviously, we're not going to go through every announcement that they gave. There's so much more than that we didn't talk about, and then even not to mention Disney or Star Wars and Marvel and Fox and Hulu original series. I mean, it's starting to get almost ridiculous how much Disney owns. You kind of start to lose track.
It is
of everything.
It's so true. Yeah, but broadly speaking, though, I guess we can cap this off by saying it really was Disney's chance to showcase how they've shifted media distribution with the turning to Disney Plus a lot more so than I thought for just direct release for a lot of this material. There's very few premiere access. I think Rey and the Last Dragon was one of them, maybe one or two others. But otherwise, everything was just going straight to Disney Plus.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that everyone was kind of waiting to see what Disney Plus was going to do, because, you know, HBO had recently made that announcement that a lot of the Warner Brother movies are going to be released directly to just HBO Max.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everyone's kind of waiting to see what Disney was going to do. Is Disney still going to do theatrical releases? They are. You know, they're obviously going to do some of the Disney ones. They're going to do pretty much the new, all the new Star Wars movies, I believe, are just going to be theatrical releases. Marvel's still doing them. So they're going to do those big tentpole movies still in theaters. But, I mean, talk about perfect timing for them to be released in a streaming service, because of the hit they took with the pandemic. They obviously didn't see it coming.
What do you think Bob Iger's Christmas bonus is this year after him spearheading that effort?
Right. I mean, I think even when Disney first announced that they're doing a streaming service, it was almost, people were kind of like, okay, like the diehard Disney fans were like, oh, that'll be cool. We can have our library of Disney content. I don't think anyone expected it to be as impactful and central to the future of Disney as it's become. And I don't think Disney thought it was going to be this central to their future, except, you know, obviously they're hit with the pandemic. The parks take a huge hit, and it was almost like kind of luck that they had the streaming service in their pocket, you know, right when everyone was suddenly moving to streaming. It was very fortuitous that this worked out for them.
Yeah. And it's, they pivoted in time. I dare say they're even a little late to the game, because Netflix is so entrenched. I don't know. It's some like several hundred million subscribers, but 86 million is the number that Disney released that they're already at, which is nothing to scoff at.
They projected, I think, something ridiculous, just below 300 million. I think their projection for the next, I think, within the next couple of years, I forget what the timeline on that was, but
yeah.
I mean, if you talk to anyone now, if you go out and just talk to people about what streaming services they have, I don't really know anyone. You always hear Netflix. Everyone has Netflix. Everyone has Disney Plus. It's kind of crazy that Disney Plus didn't even exist a couple years ago, and now suddenly they're arguably the number two. I don't know in numbers if they are yet, but I think just kind of
if you include Hulu, they are. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's crazy, and I think you start to think about the content that they're putting out there and the popularity of that content. I mean, The Mandalorian, to talk about a Star Wars thing, was probably one of the most hyped shows since, you know, Game of Thrones, you know, as far as just kind of everybody talking about it, you know, trying to watch it so you don't hear spoilers. You know, that's a Disney Plus show. So
I haven't seen that level of just general pop culture awareness and just at work. Like literally everybody the next day, it was like, I imagine regular TV as a, you know, Lifetime cord cutter. My family's never had cable TV. We were never a TV family growing up, but I imagine this is how it was. I literally showed up to work the day after the last episode of The Mandalorian, and everybody had seen it and everybody was talking about it. And this was the day after it premiered on Disney Plus. So it definitely has that must see quality to it, which is, I mean, that's great news. And we, like we talked about, you know, we won't go through every series, but they're announcing 10 original Star Wars series going on to Disney Plus over the next years. It's crazy.
Yeah, it gives them so much freedom too.
You know,
Disney Plus, to be able to just experiment, to put out stuff that maybe would have never seen the light of day.
Yeah.
But because they now have their own streaming service, they can take that risk. They put it out there. Maybe it doesn't make, you know, $1 billion at the box office, but as long as it's bringing more subscribers to their service, that's really all that matters now.
That's so what they care about.
Maybe put out something like Solo, which we watched in the theaters, and I think you and I both liked that movie, but it was kind of a box office bust.
Yeah.
And now kind of seen as a failure. But if they had released that movie in the Disney Plus era and it had gone straight to Disney Plus and never hit theaters, it probably wouldn't be seen that way. So I think we're going to see a lot more projects and experimentation when it comes to the type of projects that they're willing to do because of Disney Plus.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And here's a perfect illustration of that, actually. Let's talk some Disney Plus content. I know you had it fragged for the end of the show. I want to ask you about Soul and your sort of spoiler-free review. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but before I ask you about that, I have to just say the perfect example of Disney's ability to take advantage of what this platform can do was in the holiday special, the Disney decorating. What was the name of it? I can't remember the exact name, but it was literally there. They did a Christmas special.
Disney Parks Magical Christmas Celebration.
That's the one. Thank you. That's the most Disney title ever. But yes, that was exactly it. Not to be confused with the Disney Parks Christmas Day Celebration, which is the ABC special. But no, it was a Disney Plus exclusive, and it was just Ryan Seacrest hanging out there on Zoom with a bunch of celebrities in their houses, and they sent camera crews to them all, and they filmed a bunch of, you know, Christmas music and talked about Disney and Christmas. And it was hilarious and awesome and really well produced and the perfect example of exactly what you would expect a Christmas special in 2020 to be. And it was great.
Yeah, and there's no lack of that type of content. I think that's one thing people don't even realize on Disney Plus is some of that type of content that's out there. The specials, the behind the scenes for the parks, like they have
Disney Gallery.
You know, decorating the Disney parks for Christmas.
Oh, I love that. You know, that was really good. Special.
It's fun. And if you miss the parks, it's a great way to kind of get to watch some of that behind the scenes stuff related to the parks. They had the whole Animal Kingdom series where you could get the behind the scenes stuff about Animal Kingdom. So yeah, I think that's another side of Disney Plus.
The Lego Star Wars holiday special.
Oh, that was fantastic.
The High School Musical, the musical, the holiday special.
Right?
They've got it all. It was... Ryan Seacrest, there he is, with a really awkward beard and a Mickey sweater.
Every time I see that guy, I'm like, he's still around?
He's still doing his thing, man.
Still doing his thing.
He's good at it. Listen, I don't you crap on Ryan Seacrest. It's like, although he did, all right. this is so gossipy. I'm embarrassed to say what I'm about to say. But me and my wife are definitely talking about how, like, the Dancing with the Stars. She hosted the main ABC special this year, but Julian Huff had like a big number on it. And my wife was like, you know, they used to date, and now he's introducing her. And I was like, I wonder if it ended like awkwardly and like if they have to pretend they like each other. And it was this whole
that's tiny so funny.
Anyway, so that's all right. I will detour from there. But I mentioned it. I've got to tell you, Aaron. This is my wife and I's first Christmas together as a married couple. I worked, but I was on swing shift, so Christmas morning I had open. And so we hung out, we opened all of our presents from everybody with nobody watching us. It was the best thing ever. That actually, present opening by yourself, pretty great.
Yeah.
Don't have to pretend you like anything you don't like. It's fantastic. But we also, and this is going to be our new tradition, because we've talked a lot about, you know, it's our first year as a married couple at Christmas. What traditions are we going to establish? And the big jump out to me was the ABC Disney Parks Christmas Day special. It was so much fun. I loved it. It was it was called ABC's Disney Parks Magical Christmas Day Celebration. And they had a bunch of cool, like, exclusive looks at the park and attractions that are opening. And it was hosted by Julian Huff and Titus Burgess. And they were pretty good. It wasn't even that like star-studded compared to previous ones that I've seen on YouTube or stuff before, but just the fact that it was live and we got to see them around the parks at different points, and they had John Baptiste play "It's All Right" from Soul, and I loved the song. I haven't even seen the movie, but it was a really sweet song. Maddie and Tay sang some songs. Titus Burgess also took up the microphone, sang a little bit with "This Christmas." Tori Kelly, Trevor Jackson. It was a good roster of musicians and a lot of music, some exclusive looks at the parks and Disney specials, and a ton of ads sandwiched in between during the commercial breaks of "Book your Disney vacation package now, 30% off." Booking before, you know, they had like a special offer that they were hammering the entire 2-hour special to try to get bookings for the park next summer. So we had a great time. It's going to be our thing, I think, every Christmas, is just to put on the ABC Christmas special.
Yeah, I saw bits and pieces of it. The other special you were talking about with Ryan Seacrest, same thing. I saw bits and pieces, but I didn't watch the whole thing. I think maybe there's a generational gap issue with this stuff too.
Yeah,
because a lot of the artists and stuff that they're kind of focusing on are just not people I know, because I'm kind of you know, I'm old enough that I kind of stopped keeping up with like the latest and greatest. So
you're not super into Becky G is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. So, so yeah, but I knew who Julianne Hough is. So, but yeah, so I kind of watched a little here and there. I think for my family, it was more the tradition of watching, you know, Christmas movies. And it was really cool that, you know, for this year, they released Soul.
Yes.
On Christmas Day. So we had our day planned out where it was like, okay, we're going to wake up in the morning. We're going to open the presents under the tree. And then we're going to get hot chocolate. And we're going to sit down and watch Soul. So it would be really cool. I don't know that they'll do this. But if there was like a yearly Christmas Day release on Disney Plus of a major movie, a Disney movie, that would be really fun to kind of turn that into a tradition.
I would love that. Yeah. We did watch a part of a movie Christmas Day, but it was on HBO. Sorry. It was Wonder Woman.
I haven't watched that one yet. So you prioritized Wonder Woman over Soul.
I did. It was a joint decision. Can I hang on?
Blame your wife, in other words.
I'm leaning over, making sure I'm out of your. Yeah, it's my wife's fault. She's a huge fan of Wonder, which, by the way, we watched the first one. She had never seen it just about a month ago because we knew the new one was coming out. Like, oh, we should watch it. And it was way better than I remembered. Like, way better than I remembered. In fact, there are a few movies where I remember being so about them and then being really excited about them the second time I watched it. I don't know what it was. Maybe part of it was that Savannah was super into it and absolutely loved it, but I've reversed my entire position on Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. She's amazing. Second one was this is not the Wonder Woman podcast, but you're in for a treat. It's a good movie.
Okay, I've heard mixed reviews. So,
but enough about. Tell me about. Give me your sort of your spoiler free pitch for Soul. What was it like? Thumbs up, thumbs down. I want to know the Goins review.
Yeah, I'll give spoiler free. So if you haven't seen it yet, I'll try to be careful not to spoil anything. But this one, I didn't know what to expect. This was one that it's being a Pixar movie. Like, okay, Pixar usually does a pretty good job. So sure. I was excited to see it, but I wasn't sure kind of what we were going to get. And I will say that the previews definitely leave out stuff. So don't feel like you know the movie if you've only seen the previews. Oh, there's definitely some surprises. But yeah, this one, I would say if I'm comparing it to Onward, which is the latest Pixar release that came out right as the theaters were starting to close down, and they kind of did a quick put it on Disney Plus, you know, so people can watch it. I liked Onward, but it didn't feel like a Pixar movie. Soul feels like a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
If you're used to kind of a little bit more thoughtful storytelling, those kind of really emotional beats and, you know, getting to that point where you're probably going to be shedding a little bit of tears.
Yeah.
Almost what you expect from any Pixar movie. Mm-hmm. They really kind of hit that home with this movie. I absolutely love this movie. I found myself laughing throughout. The emotional moments definitely hit me, as you know, and I think some of it might have been more geared toward even adults than kids. There were definitely fun moments that kind of the kids can enjoy, but I think any adult could sit down and really like this movie. So yeah, I was very happy with it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great review. I'm excited now to jump into it. I actually think after we finish recording here, we might watch a little bit. So I'm excited to jump back into a Pixar movie because I enjoyed Onward, but I'm with you. It wasn't the best of Pixar. It didn't quite have the same quality to me as a lot of the Pixar films. But that's good to know. I'm glad to hear that. So
did you know that Tina Fey is in Soul?
Oh, is she the mom?
She's the voice of the other character that's kind of you see in the trailer with Jamie Foxx's character. The two kind of they show them as like these soul entities.
Yeah,
I just felt like that was really interesting. I was looking at the credits as the movie ended, and some of the names you recognize different voices, and you're kind of who's in this movie. And Jamie Foxx was obviously kind of the central actor that they had kind of focused on as they were promoting this movie. But I saw her name and I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's kind of an interesting big name that they really didn't focus on at all in the marketing.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
But yeah, Jamie Foxx and Tina Fey, I would say co-star of this movie.
That's crazy. Look at that. Look at them apples. I'm excited. So would you say it is a return to form or is that too strong?
I mean, I liked Onward, so I don't know that they necessarily made a bad movie, but it's definitely more what you would expect from what traditional. It's more in the vein of Inside Out, Up, Wall-E, less in the vein of Cars, Toy Story, Onward.
That checks, that checks.
That helps.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man. We're not quite done yet, because I've got to talk to you a little bit about the future, because we've reminisced a lot, especially the holiday season, some of the incredible content that's come out on the various Disney platforms, and also looked at the future of streaming and movies and TV, but I want to talk to you about the parks and what's coming up.
Can't wait to get
in back. 2021. Yeah, so it's 2021 is going to be a really interesting year to see how the recovery happens, because there's the vaccine, it's being distributed now, and it'll be really interesting to see as we wait for wide distribution and the miracles of modern science to take place. The Disney's going to have an interesting summer. You know, I talked about they were really heavily advertising, trying to get a fully booked summer season. And it'll be interesting to see if that's possible, but they're rolling along with a lot of the updates that they were even talking about in the Christmas special to get people excited. So, I've got an article, a full article that we'll reference here for the podcast, but you can click through the link. It's on the Disney Tourist blog about what's new and next at Disney World in 2021, because there's been a lot of changes and a lot of canceled projects, but there's still a lot happening. The latest updates, Aaron, come from the Thanksgiving ABC special and then the holiday special, not the Star Wars one, but the one that we were just talking about. But those actually kind of showed us what we can expect in the parks, but I kind of want to break it down park by park, because the article does a pretty good job of it for itself. So let's start with Epcot. Epcot's the one that's it's the most up in the air. The most ambitious projects were there, and it remains to be seen exactly how many of them will come to fruition as a result of the cutbacks and cancellations that have been happening. But a lot of the construction projects that we talked about that were even in that incredible, like, you know, display about the future of Epcot have been canceled or postponed to some degree. But what we do know is that there's a couple new things. There's the complete redesign happening at the front of the park that is currently ongoing. So we know that's going to happen.
Which they're making some pretty good progress on. I've seen that they already kind of revealed the fountain with that. I don't even know what you would call it.
I know, kind of that futuristic. That glass, yeah, I know, glass fountain looking thing. It's.
But I've seen pictures that people had posted. It looks really cool, and I'm excited for the changes to the entrance of that park. I think it definitely needed a refresh.
Yeah, and so and this is that three-level festival center. We've talked about it on the podcast before, but those construction walls are still up, and honestly, this project is going to be ongoing for a while, probably done at like the end of 2022 or even into 2023.
Yeah, and I know the festival center is one of the ones that people are wondering if will really ever come to fruition.
Yeah.
Because of how, you know, just they had some really lofty goals for what that was going to be. And I think we might end up getting a toned down version of that festival center as we see it in the concept art.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's very true. We wait to see if the, in Future World, for example, the Spaceship Earth overhaul has been shelved, and it's possible that the same might be true for the Play Pavilion, Moana Journey of Water, and the Festival Center. Other projects are likely being reworked or canceled. Basically, that incredible concept art that they released, not so much. It makes me sad. It really does. This is probably my greatest sadness about the Disney projects during the pandemic that have been canceled. I was pretty hyped for a lot of this stuff at Epcot.
Yeah, I think that is the biggest hit for what, you know, the pandemic changed the the future progress, and I think Epcot probably took the biggest hit because they had the most to lose. You know, they had so much planned that. I haven't heard. I think the Moana thing will still happen. It doesn't seem like it's that big of a undertaking. You know, it's just kind of a water feature,
sure,
type thing. It's not like a whole. It's not a ride. It's not an attraction necessarily. So I think we'll still see that, but it might just be a bit delayed.
Yeah, that's true. But another thing at Epcot, the fireworks show that they were set to replace Epcot Forever with, their previous temporary nighttime spectacular, which you and I saw really liked. But they were working on this epic new fireworks show called Harmonious. It never debuted due to the pandemic, but there's been plenty of imagery of them resuming construction, and that this seems to be higher priority for them to get this done. But they still set no date for the show, but that's because they've set no dates for any fireworks resuming yet. But I expect when they do announce that the fireworks resume, they will resume with the Harmonious fireworks show already ready to go.
Yeah, I think they're prioritizing that for the 50th anniversary in 2021. So I think we'll see that in 2021 for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Future World, the Space 220 restaurant is still being built adjacent to the Mission Space, also set to open in 2021. It was originally scheduled for late this year, obviously did not come to fruition. Disney Tourist Blog is that it's probably not going to debut in 2021 when there's going to be restrictions lifted. Instead, it might be a little closer to, well, a little later in the year. The construction's continued, but it's a matter of whether or not they'd be willing to operate it under COVID restrictions, or if they'll wait till after COVID restrictions can loosen up, maybe later in the summer year. But we'll have to see that. That's one I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, this one looks fun. It looks like it's going to be a preview of some things that we might see at the Star Wars hotel as well. So.
For sure. Some of the same technology, make it more immersive. Now let's talk about it. Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind. With Galaxy's Edge opened, Cosmic Rewind is the biggest budget project currently being built at Walt Disney World. Officially, it will, quote, debut in time for Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary. However, it's unlikely this target can still be met due to construction work halting during the closure. Originally, we expected it summer 2021. Now we're expecting it more likely summer 2022, but again, not official.
Yeah, what a disappointment that would be if they're not able to get that one done.
Yeah. Well, and
next year.
And it does look like, and maybe I was referencing something different earlier here, that Moana Journey of Water will debut maybe more likely in 2022. Quote, this is from the Disney Tourist Blog. Although we feared it had been canceled, Walt Disney World offered another update on Moana Journey of Water in November 2020, suggesting the project is still moving forward. So there's some hope.
Yeah.
A little bit. Moving to the World Showcase, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. That's what we're talking about.
This one's all the big ticket. I think this one will be early 2021. I think people will be riding this.
Oh, easy. Yeah, because you're right. The construction on it had pretty much already been done. In fact, that was one of the ones that they teased, coming up later in the program, a tease for Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. And they played a whole little segment of it on the Christmas special. I'll play a little excerpt right here.
Opening up here at Disney's Epcot. And that kind of put the character Remy in my mind. And I made up this little song about Remy. The song blew up on social media, which suddenly sparked a Ratatouille musical movement across social media. So it's so surreal to finally be here.
I've got special permission just to bring you in, to be among one of the first people to actually walk through the ride path.
We're going inside?
Yes, we're going to go inside.
And so they give this kind of social media star a tour, and you get to kind of see all the massive scale. The massive scale food and kitchen items for the ride. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, this one's going to be fun. I'm hoping to get to ride this one at one of my trips to Disney next year.
I think you will. I think that's a pretty safe bet. There's a bunch of construction photos and updates. The attractions virtually finish, can pretty much open whenever they're ready. So I would imagine that we will hear very soon that their expansion to the France Pavilion will be ready to roll, which I'm looking forward to. Let's jump over to and in terms of new things at Epcot, and this is probably what I'm most excited to go visit, is the Regal Eagles Distinctly Patriotic Smokehouse, a salute to all foods, but mostly barbecued meats, a Sam Eagle craft drafts and barbecue joint. Did you see, one of the segments on the ongoing Disney mini documentary series on Disney Plus. I can't for the life of me. A Day at Disney, I think is what it's called. Something like that. But they feature some of the interior designers and brainstormers who come up with all the restaurants and how they design them and theme them, and they go through that whole process and tasting the menu and making sure they choose the right dishes. That made me immediately excited to check this out.
Yeah, I've seen this. I was there when I was there in October.
That's right.
This was open. So I actually didn't get any food from here, but it's definitely it kind of is more like a pavilion. It's not necessarily like a restaurant. You can't really go and, you know, sit down or anything like that. Mm. It's just kind of like a, you go up, you order your food, and then they have tables and stuff around.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like a permanent festival.
That's cool.
Stand. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that they have that. And it's I don't know, it's kind of nice to have some good old American barbecue in between all the wonderful international delicacies.
Right.
Let's move to Magic Kingdom. The big ticket item, of course, is the Tron roller coaster. Currently being built in Tomorrowland behind Space Mountain. This was originally planned to open in time for the 50th anniversary on October 1st, 2021. Recently, there are credible rumors that Tron Light Cycle Run, that's the name of it, will not debut until roughly a year later in 2022. Mm. While this attraction is an expansion to the parks outside of its existing berm, its construction will cause closures to the Disney World Railroad. So, looking like a year delay for the Tron Light Cycle.
I got to see that construction up close and personal.
Oh, yeah. And,
as well, when we were there. Because while you're waiting in line for the Barnstormer,
yeah,
it's right next to that coaster. So it's cool to see. You can see the track, you can see the kind of show building for it and everything, all under construction. It looks like it's going to be very, very massive ride that's going to be really fun.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I think so. The other big ticket items, of course, the Princess and the Frog reimagining of Splash Mountain. When they released that concept art, I think it was culturally timely, but probably earlier than Disney would usually release something like that because of the timing. But I think that's one reason why we haven't really heard anything about dates for this reopening. According to the Disney Tourist blog, the project isn't super far along. They've got the conceptual design work. Imagineers are working on their preliminary reviews, developing a timeline for how to do the transformation and how to get it to take place. Looking at it, Splash Mountain, we could probably look at it closing and maybe retheming sometime in 2022. Again, it seems like a lot of what was going to be 2021, what was going to be next year, maybe look back a year.
So we might not even ride the new reimagining until 2023.
Yeah. I don't think it's a reskin. I think it could be a construction project that only closes the ride and reopens it for a few weeks. You know, I don't know exactly what the timeline would look like on that, but I could see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, if they prioritize it and rush it, I could see it maybe being a little faster. But I imagine Splash Mountain's going to see a lengthy closing.
Mm. Now,
I'm thinking three to 4 months at least.
Now let's jump to Hollywood Studios, which, you know, my sentimental
favorite. Most improved Disney park in the past 20 years.
Amen. And my nostalgic favorite park. My pet park, I guess, of sorts.
Disney's Hollywood. It doesn't even have to be a nostalgic favorite anymore. It's a legitimate favorite. With everything they've added,
Yeah.
It's just, it's got, it can be, it's up there. It used to be my easy, least favorite park just because of how little there was to do there for a long time.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's so true. That's so true. But the big one that recently opened is Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway. I have not been on it. You have, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's
I
right.
did get to ride that with my son. Mm. Very well done. Cool yeah. technology. Just really cool. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. And so I look forward to experiencing that because I know it's brand new, just opened. Of course, like Galaxy's Edge opened in its entirety. This, and we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, but it's nothing to sneeze at. For Hollywood Studios, the biggest expansion to a Disney park ever. We've got Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance that's now open. So it's really a complete Star Wars experience now, completely open, which I think a lot of people, unless you in that 1 year that it was first opened, a lot of which, you know, it was really difficult to get on these rides, particularly Rise of Resistance with their boarding pass system. A lot of people will not have experienced this, and 2021 will be the first year to do that. So that'll be kind of cool when you look ahead at 2021. And of course, Toy Story Land also, those two are what make Hollywood Studios now a legit park, which unfortunately now means it's real crowded. That's probably one reason I like it, as I just remember hanging out at a park that wasn't super crowded.
Yeah. I think when I was looking at the reservation system, like the parks that would end up filling up first.
Yeah.
Hollywood Studios and Magic Kingdom, which it used to be, you know, Magic Kingdom and Epcot used to be kind of the premier park. So it's all flipped around now.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. The Toy Story Land, like we say, but it is getting its expansion, another expansion in Toy Story Land. It's the Roundup Rodeo Barbecue Table Service Restaurant, which is coming in Toy Story Land's first expansion. So they've already removed the backstage facilities that they need to start construction, and we're anticipating sometime 2021 opening. So that'll be cool. And then, all right, last one, power through.
Let's do it. Animal Kingdom.
My wife's favorite park. My wife's new favorite park, by the way.
It's probably my favorite park as well.
Oh, well, it's, and I think it's, my wife Savannah grew up in Florida, Central Florida, went to Disney all the time as a kid. It was a big part of her childhood experience. But there was just this long gap from high school all the way through college and a bunch of years as a working professional where she just didn't go and started going back to the parks around the time we were dating. It's my fault.
You brought the magic back into.
Amen. Yeah. That's what I say. I might get a pretty serious eye roll if I made such a claim. With her in my presence. But you know what? Since I'm right here on the podcast, that's right. Bringing the magic back. But Animal Kingdom, it's because of the expansiveness, the room, the nature. She just loves the ambience of Animal Kingdom. And every single, whether it's Africa, whether it's Pandora, there's just something that's very atmospheric about the park.
Me and Savannah are copacetic because that's exactly the reason why I love that park.
Yeah.
Exactly what you just said.
Yeah. So but the thing is, there's not really a whole lot major on the horizon for Animal Kingdom next year. The Avatar is still sort of the hot new thing of sorts and continues to be the biggest attraction. Even with Galaxy's Edge open, it's like Flight of Passage is the most popular ride still in all of Disney World. Which is just an amazing testament to that ride.
Yeah, it lives up to the hype. Still my favorite.
Yeah.
Even though Rise of the Resistance is a really cool ride, I would say Avatar still has it beat.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm with you, maybe. Rise of the Resistance, I think, is still objectively the best ride design and the most accomplished Disney ride. Is it my favorite? That'd be tough. There's something about the experience of Flight of Passage. I'll never forget. I knew how much my sister Bethany would love this ride because she loves the sensation of flight. She's an adventurous. She's the skydiving kind of person, and so I knew she would love this ride. And I for years of going to Disney, it always was, you know, 2 or 3 hour wait, no fast passes, and it's been that way for years, and I just never went because that was never a threshold I was willing to hit to just experience the ride. But when I finally was able to snag fast passes and go, It was incredible. It was incredible. But I digress. That's not the actual updates that we are getting for Animal Kingdom next year, which is actually nothing. It's two small ones. They're getting an otter grotto, a little habitat for otters. I'm a big otter fan, so that'll be cute.
Otters are great. Yeah.
And then they're also going to get a walk around Kevin, the bird from Up. So Kevin's always a popular with the kids. So they are doing small expansions. Again, a testament to the times we're in. Definitely not nearly as much as we probably would have gotten otherwise, but still I think a respectable amount of updates to the parks themselves.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot still unknown what we're going to see in 2021, how much of this stuff's actually going to hit in 2021. I'm sure they had hoped that a lot of this would already have been out before the big 50th anniversary celebrations. I'm sure they had huge plans that have been completely scrapped because of this pandemic.
Yep.
So, and there's stuff that we didn't mention because it's probably not going to happen, you know, that is sad to see some of the things that they were going to do that have already been kind of, you know, not permanently postponed, but probably permanently postponed.
Yeah.
So
I have to, I know we're running a little longer on this episode, but I got to ask you, Aaron, about one outside of the parks project. I know we focused specifically on the parks, but Galactic Star Cruiser. I want to hit the updates here because the construction, I've been seeing the updates to the construction photos throughout the summer. So I know it's been continuing, but according to, again, the Disney Tourist blog, while opening has probably been delayed by a year, the good news is it's not canceled entirely. That's what happened to Walt Disney's other big hotel and Disney Vacation Club project, Reflections, a Disney Lakeside Lodge, which was going to be a nature-inspired resort to build on the former River Country Water Park, as well as part of the Fort Wilderness campground. So that was scrapped. But Galactic Star Cruiser continues. And I'm excited. So delayed by a year. I'll take it. I feel better about it now. They haven't officially announced that, but that seems about right to me based on the timeline of a lot of this other stuff. I'm glad that this, what seems like a fairly expensive experimental project for Disney, made the cut.
Yeah, and they still have something to prove to me because feel like we were shortchanged a bit on Galaxy's Edge.
You're basically like Tarkin and Disney is Leia, and you're like, she lied to us.
Yeah, they have a lot to prove because they sold us something that we didn't get when it comes to Galaxy's Edge. I love Galaxy's Edge. I love the rides there. I think it's great, but it's not what they said it was going to be as far as the immersion. And that's kind of the same way they're selling this hotel. And so I'll be curious to see if it can really live up to that hype. Maybe this is their second chance to kind of get it right. And it, depending on the price point, because it sounds like it's going to be pretty high, you know, this might be one that I kind of put off for a while until I hear the first reviews to see if it kind of really does live up to the hype.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then Aaron, parting shot here. You like the Polynesian Village Resort?
Absolutely. It's great.
I don't know why I completely forgot this, but do you remember what their upcoming theme is that they're working?
You mean just doing the Moana stuff? Or?
Yeah, I was talking about the Moana stuff. They are scheduled. They're not reopened yet. Since March, they've been closed. But they are now scheduled to reopen this summer with all of the Moana theming complete.
Yeah, and that's just it makes sense. They already have some Lilo and Stitch stuff going on there, but yeah, absolutely makes sense to have Moana involved.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. I'm excited. I think that'll be a lot of fun. So look at that. Some updates coming to the wide world of Disney, but even though it's not nearly as much as we'd hoped. I'm legitimately a little depressed about Epcot. But, you know, I'm sure these things will come to fruition, you know, over the years down the line. I think we have to get used to a couple years where the numbers are going to be a little bit tighter and Disney's going to have to be a little bit more picky with those pennies.
But, yeah, I'm more concerned about the overall kind of experience at Disney taking a hit.
Yeah,
you know, they really invest in the cleanliness of the parks. They invest in the cast members, making sure that it's just this really authentic experience. And I'm curious to see if that takes a hit with the cutbacks.
Number of employees. I saw like a trending kind of opinion piece on like advice of like, hey, don't go to Disney. Don't do your Disney vacation with your family right now. Even though the thesis of the piece was that it was safe, but that the experience just wasn't the same.
Right. And I can say that my experience, although, you know, I'm a diehard Disney fan, so anytime I go to Disney, I love it. But it definitely was a different experience when we went in October. And I imagine that's probably going to be the same for a while. So I would actually be more... I would rather them take to slow down some of these projects and focus on keeping the experience alive.
Yeah.
And then just kind of slowly rolling out these projects over the years, as opposed to trying to really just spend all their money on these projects and maybe not focusing as much on the detail and, you know, the cast members and making sure it's just a really authentic Disney experience.
Mm. Yeah. Well said. Well said, Aaron. And that is going to wrap up this episode of the Mouse and Castle podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. We went longer than usual, but hey, it also been 2 months.
Double episode.
It's good as always to catch up with you, Aaron, on all things Disney. I just didn't want to scrimp too much in any of this news. There's so much of it. So much Star Wars stuff, Marvel stuff. Are you ready for WandaVision or are you ready for WandaVision?
I am. I actually think that looks really cool.
I'm more excited about that than any other Marvel show.
All this Marvel stuff coming up with the Spider-Man movie and kind of the multiverse idea and just how it seems like they're really starting to tie stuff together. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. Winter Soldier and that one looks cool too. So yeah,
I'm here for it. I'm here for it, and I'm here for our next trip to Disney when we go for my wedding, my fake wedding, my reception, my whatever happens when you throw the party. But we already got married because it was a pandemic, so it was just us. That's happening.
Any excuse to go to Disney World.
And we are going back to Florida, and we are going... Listen, here's the thing, though. You know, honeymoon was canceled, so it's just like a big reception party, so we're throwing it on Friday, so you better believe what we're going to do on Saturday and Sunday. We're going to go hang out.
We just got to decide which two parks.
Amen. We're going to hang out at Disney. I just hope Jelly Rolls is open.
That'd be pretty good.
I still find it hilarious that like a month before this all hit, that was like our last trip to Disney was my bachelor party for the wedding that was canceled.
It'll be almost exactly a year later that we go.
I know.
For your trip. Yeah.
So true. We were looking at about a year out. It was just the dates that lined up weren't quite a year, but yeah, I'm excited, man.